You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Mumbai-based infrastructure, leasing and financial services, ILNFS, has been at the center of a whirlwind controversy. And before we explore this story in detail in this Money Control deep dive, let us find out a bit more about the backdrop against which this saga has unfolded.
The Deep Dive podcast series, piecing together the ILNFS conundrum.
What is the ILNFS crisis? The Web Desk of the Week answered this question in a piece published on September 25, 2018. The crisis unfolded amid an uncertain economic climate. We quote, India's financial markets have been reeling under high selling pressure in recent days, triggering concerns about risks in the country's shadow banking sector. The crisis has shaved off Rs 8.48 lakh crore in investor wealth in the last 10 days, and at the eye of the storm is the Mumbai-based Infrastructure Leasing and Financial Services, ILNFS. The three-decade-old infrastructure lending giant, ILNFS, is a shadow bank, or a non-banking financial company that provides services similar to traditional commercial banks, unquote. As the piece goes on to inform, the major shareholders of ILNFS include state-backed Life Insurance Corporation of India holding 25.3% stake, Housing Development Finance Corporation with 9.02%, Central Bank of India with 7.67%, and State Bank of India with 6.42%. Other key shareholders are the Japan's Oryx Corporation holding 23% and Abu Dhabi Investment Authority with 12.56%. Further, we learn that the subsidiaries of ILNFS include Transportation Network Building Subsidiary, ILNFS Transportation Networks Limited, ITNL, Engineering and Procurement Company, ILNFS Engineering and Construction Company Limited, and Financier, ILNFS Financial Services Limited. Crisis by default. So what caused the crisis? We quote The Week. ILNFS defaulted on a few payments and failed to service its commercial papers, CP, on due date, which means the company has run out of cash or it is facing a liquidity crunch. The company piled up too much debt to be paid back in the short term while revenues from its assets are skewed towards the longer term. The subsidiaries of ILNFS include Transportation Network Building Subsidiary, ILNFS Transportation Networks Limited, ITNL, Engineering and Procurement Company, ILNFS Engineering and Construction Company Limited, and Financier, ILNFS Financial Services Limited. The recent slowdown in infrastructure projects and disputes over contracts locking about Rs 90 billion of payments due from the government have further worsened the condition, unquote. Further, says The Week, ILNFS Financial Services disclosed on September 6th that the commercial papers, CP, which were due on August 28th, could not be paid on due date and were settled in full on August 31st. ILNFS Financial Services has about $500 million in repayments, which are due in the second half of this financial year, while it has only about $27 million available. Reuters chips in to state that by the middle of September, ILNFS and ILNFS Financial Services had a combined Rs 270 billion of debt rated as junk by CARE Ratings, and a further six group companies had suffered downgrades with a negative outlook on another Rs 120 billion of borrowings. The default, in turn, has had a trickle-down impact on investors, which include banks, insurance companies, and mutual funds. Delays and defaults on debt obligations and intercorporate deposits at this scale can have cascading impact, and it's not a small deal. When an entity like ILNFS is unable to service its obligation towards a letter of credit to IDBI Bank Limited. Life Insurance Corporation, LIC, which has the largest shareholding in ILNFS, has stated that it is keen to explore solutions for revival, but for now, things are looking bleak. No single solution. Complex financial conundrums are rarely, if ever, solved by one-shot simplistic solution. As Tanya Thomas wrote in LiveMint on the 4th of December 2018, the ILNFS board has stated that the only options left are hiving off and selling entire business verticals to willing buyers, and if that fails, going for asset-level resolution could be an option. This was said in its latest status report to NCLT, the National Company Law Tribunal, which is a quasi-judicial body in India that adjudicates issues relating to Indian companies. IL&FS, as has been reported widely, is straddled with Rs. 91,000 crore debt and is obvious by now finding a single solution for a crisis of this stature is not realistic. The Uday Kotak-led board further said in the report that the so-called group resolution, which would involve a significant capital infusion from credible and financially strong investors, was not feasible. The group resolution, explains the piece, includes a condition that investors along with the new board engage with creditors, leading to an overall resolution across the IL&FS group. Asset level resolution has been offered as one of the solutions, and we quote, this would involve asset by asset solution explored through various methods, including significant capital infusion, either from existing or new investors, asset monetization to retire debt, and resolution or compromise with the creditors, unquote. Money Control's Beena Parmar wrote on the 4th of December as well about the IL&FS board's progress report to NCLT, where cost-cutting measures such as assessment of liquidity, manpower optimization, etc. have been mentioned, apart from evaluation of domestic and overseas assets and their sale for resolution. The new board had taken charge after NCLT approved a resolution of the liquidity crisis at IL&FS given its huge debt. Specific cost-cutting measures, including reducing operating costs by terminating non-essential real estate premises, closure of offices at various locations and leasing out offices of IL&FS Financial Services, salary rationalization and separation of superannuated consultants. These steps will yield an approximately 50% savings in the wage bill of the IL&FS group. Several other initiatives are being initiated and that will bring down total manpower of the IL&FS group by approximately 65% and wage cost by 50% respectively, the report said. Bloomberg Quint also reported on the 4th of December that lowering manpower by 65% would reduce its Rs. 1066 crore wage bill by half and cutting salaries and discontinuance of consultancy services of retired employees would save another Rs. 100 crore a year. A person on the condition of anonymity told Bloomberg Quint that the group employs about 4,500 people. On 29th of November, Money Life had also reported that IL&FS had initiated the process to sell its renewable energy business and has invited expression of interest, EOI proposals, from prospective buyers. IL&FS's assets from the renewable energy business put on the block include operating wind power generating plants to aggregate capacity of 873.5 megawatts and its under construction wind power generating plants with aggregate capacity of 104 megawatts. Its asset management services for the wind power generating plant business division that carries out project development and implementation of wind power plants will also be sold. Long-term solutions. Money Control's recent coverage also informs that IL&FS resolution advisor Alvarez & Marcel, A&M, will evaluate the short and medium-term liquidity and develop 13-week cash flow estimates for the next 12 months at each entity level along with its debt serviceability potential. More than 165 entities have been reviewed and close to 100 entities have operational cash gap till the 31st of March 2019. And to achieve a long-term solution, says Money Control, A&M is in the process of reviewing the existing capital structure of entities within the IL&FS group, assessing incremental funding requirements for CAPEX working capital at the relevant entity level, classifying entities based on debt serviceability and viability, assisting in identifying entities suitable for monetization and identifying encumbrances created on assets of various entities within the IL&FS group and approvals for divestment at holding company level like IL&FS business vertical platform level and at the level of the operating SPVs. Punitive measures. In the meanwhile, the past is catching up with IL&FS former directors. On 3rd of December, Money Control's Tarun Sharma and other news sources had reported that NCLT had attached properties of 9 former ILNFS directors and sought disclosure of all assets within the country and overseas. The tribunal has directed them to disclose movable and immovable assets and ensure no one creates any third-party rights on these properties. According to the Money Control piece, the Ministry of Corporate Affairs named Chief Investment Officer of ILNFS Vibhav Kapoor, K. Ramchand, Managing Director of ILFS Transportation Networks ITNL, R.C. Bawa, Managing Director of ILNFS Financial Services, Rengarajan, Managing Director and CEO of ILFS Securities Services, Pradeep Puri, Director and Member of Committee of Directors responsible for sanctioning loans, and Mukund Sapre, Executive Director of ITNL, Ravi Parthasarathy, Hari Haran and Arun Saha are the 3 other former directors whose properties have been seized. Unquote. The MCA Council had argued in court that ILNFS had used a circuitous way to pay off loans of its own entities to meet RBI guidelines and use this method to obtain a high-end credit rating and high managerial remuneration. On the other hand, percentage increase in the remuneration of Ravi Parthasarathy in financial year 2018 was 144%, while on the other, average percentage increase in salaries of employees in the same year was 4.44%. ILNFS former directors' council, however, argued that while the old board took business decisions that may have gone wrong, steps have been taken to solve the debt situation through an asset sale. Explaining the missteps in the past, it was said that earlier the business model was followed in a project-specific subsidiary way and all the accounts of all the years are fully audited. MCA Council Sanjay Shauri, however, raised concern on alleged wrongdoing in Employee Welfare Trust, EWT, and we quote, "Of the rupees 440 crore of welfare trust, only 1% went to the employees. In 2014, as part of restructuring, ILNFS merger with Piramal was contemplated. Employees Trust held 1.50 crores shares of ILNFS Limited and trustees distributed 90% of the EWT holding of 1.35 crores to select employees. The SFIO investigation reveals EWT took loan to purchase shares of ILNFS and group companies despite knowing of no way to repay." Unquote.
The Deep Dive podcast series, piecing together the IL and FS conundrum.
NCLT Mumbai will next hear the matter on the 16th of January 2019, and we will keep bringing you all the updates as the story unfolds.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.